This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Asia Pacific currents.
News and labour issues from the Asia Pacific region.
We strongly condemn the police that arrest the protesters.
Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock.
On Community Radio 3CR.
Workers of the world should unite to fight this greedy capitalist.
Brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Link. Good morning and welcome to Asia Pacific Currents.
You're obviously focusing too much there, Giselle.
Sorry. This Saturday, the 22nd of October. That's just not a good start to the show this morning. You've thrown me off my game.
Giselle, no. It's because, anyway, I'm Pierre Moreau and we're both from Australia Asia Worker Links. I think the issue was that our program before, Solidarity Breakfast, did a really good program as usual, but that music was a bit too laid back. It was called Summertime, so I think it just put us...
It was just too mellow, you reckon? We fell asleep?
That's right.
Didn't we put us in the fighting spirit that is the tradition Solidarity Breakfast. Thank you. Of course, thank you to the Solidarity Breakfast crew for a very, very great program. Coming up on this morning's program, in the second part of the show, our feature interview is with Arnel from the Labor Party of the Philippines, looking at the situation over there with the... Well, to put it bluntly, the killing gangs of the Duterte government and the impact that's having on workers and workers organising. But of course, Asia Pacific Currents is brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links. And if you want to get in touch with us, Pierre, how can listeners do that?
They can always give us a ring on 9663 7277 if you're in Australia. Or you can always go to our website, or the waawl.org.au, or on our Facebook site and Twitter as well. Although I don't tweet, so I don't know, someone else must be in the organisation.
No, let me explain this very minor detail to you. Everything you put, and it is Pierre that does most of our Facebooking, gets automatically transmitted on Twitter. It's how we've set it up, Pierre.
Yes, I know that. I don't have a Twitter account.
Okay. Yeah.
Should we go on?
Let's.
We've got.
We're going to start with news from around the region, and we're going to kick off in Australia. This week saw the release of another damning report on the treatment of detained refugees in the concentration camp of Nauru. The Australian government, as usual, denied all evidence and promised to continue the harsh approach, regardless of the cost to the people themselves. Resistance and opposition to these policies continues, whether by refugee activists or the refugees themselves. Health workers have now won the right to speak out. In the first weekend of November, pro-refugee rallies will occur in all major cities of Australia, so please check it out and definitely please take to the streets to really apply the pressure to oppose this mandatory detention regime for refugees.
That's right. And still staying in Australia, where a major conference for health and safety representatives will be held here in Melbourne this coming Tuesday, the 25th of October. Workers all over the world share a common demand for safety in the workplace. Millions of workers die, get injured, or suffer major illnesses every year due to unsafe workplaces. This conference aims to empower workers to be able to better fight for health and safety in the workplaces. So check out the Trades Hall site to see where the conference is if you're a health and safety delegate.
In New Zealand, at the start of this month, new legislation came into effect, effectively banning the importation of asbestos into the country. This is for the trade union movement in New Zealand, who have campaigned hard to ban this hazardous substance, such a victory for them. Unfortunately, globally, around 2 million tonnes of asbestos are produced annually, causing more than 100,000 deaths per year. As the experience of Australia has shown, even once asbestos is banned, the toxic legacy of its use will continue to kill people for decades into the future.
Yes, a continuing campaign all around the world. We now go to the Philippines, where there's a company called Faramo International, which is a subsidiary of the Korean multinational Hansol, and it's located in the biggest export processing zone in the Philippines, which is right near Manila. Now, the workers of Faramo, and there's close to 1,000 of them, formed a union recently and concluded a collective bargaining agreement. Now, the what has happened now, Faramo has said that they will close permanently the factory and will lay off every worker. Now, in the weeks prior to this announcement, many machines, truckloads of machines, were taken out of the factory, and a list of union members were given to other garment factories in the export zone in a blatant blacklisting ploy. And so this is quite clearly that they're trying to break the union there and putting the factory in non-unionized zones in other countries. The union has already launched a week of protest and is picketing outside the factory gates. The more protest and a plan and a solidarity campaign is planned for in the next few weeks until the date of shutdown in November. There is a belief or an attempt to form an international working group for Hansol workers around Asia.
And in Indonesia, one worker was killed and another one injured in a bulldozing accident at the Freeport-McMoRan giant Grasberg open pit copper mine in West Papua. Notwithstanding the huge and prolonged strike that workers carried out in 2011, such deaths are not isolated incidents. And that massive strike in 2011 actually saw workers murdered on those picket lines. It was an extraordinary, the mine was so big and workers actually encircled the mine.
I think it was about 12,000 striking workers from memory.
And I think 9 were shot dead.
Something like that, yeah.
Last month, another a worker was run over and killed by a mining truck on the company's power plant area in Kuala Kinkana, a town located near the Grasberg mine. In 2013, there were major accidents where 20 workers were killed when a tunnel collapsed. I think this just highlights some of the stories that we've brought to you today in relation to occupational health and safety actually being an organising tool for workers that puts into stark relief that the interests of the bosses against the interests of the workers. And these accidents at Freeport are no accident. They're explicitly because the company is interested in making a profit over the lives of workers.
That's right. And, of course, there's the Health and Safety Conference this Tuesday coming up here in Melbourne. We now go to Thailand, where with the death of Kim Bhumibol last week, the military junta has now declared a month-long period of mourning where people are encouraged to wear black and most entertainment activities have been banned. Far-right forces in Thailand are now trying to exploit this period by targeting people who they feel are not being respectful enough. A climate of fear is being created with far-right mobs attacking alleged enemies of the king, with a minister calling for critics to be socially sanctioned. There have also been claims that far-right Thai activists will travel to Europe to eliminate those exiles who have been accused of less majest in the past.
And in India, so an update on that long-running dispute of the dismissed Honda workers in Rajasthan. Their long-running dispute continues amid strong opposition by the company and local governments. Due to the hospitalisation of some of the initial hunger strikers, new workers have taken their place in continuing the fast. Workers have also renewed their agitation among the industrial belts of northern India, leading the company to issue defamation writs against some of the workers. This struggle is continuing to garner international support, and really it's incumbent on all of us to get behind them and support them.
That's right. And our last item, we go to Palestine, where the Palestinians continue to be killed under occupation. The the occupation is of Palestine by Israeli forces is so pervasive that acts of violence by military forces against Palestinians are a daily occurrence. For instance, just this week, two young Palestinians, 15-year-old Khaled Bahab Ahmed Baha and 19-year-old Rahig Youssef, were shot and killed by Israeli soldiers in two separate instances. In other incidents, hundreds of Palestinians were militarily forced from their homes and workplaces to make way for visiting Israeli tourists. Meanwhile, hunger strikes against Israel's repressive administration detention system continue unabated in Israeli jails. And that's all that we have for the news roundup for this week. I'm not too sure if we had any good news story, although the health and safety conferences.
And the New Zealand ban on asbestos.
And that's right. So that's it. We've tried to balance it up. So there you go, comrades. Anyway, we'll go to some community announcements and then we'll be back with the interview with Anel and how the war on drugs is affecting workers and labour activists in the Philippines.
In 2016, 3CR published a book to celebrate the station's 40th birthday.
Years in the making, Radical Radio, celebrating 40 years of 3CR, is a visually stunning account of the people and ideas that make up this dynamic station.
At 300 pages, the book includes hundreds of images and over 50 features on programs, people, music and technology from across the decades.
You can get your copy of 3CR's book for $49.50 at the station during business hours at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy.
Or online at 3cr.org.au/shop.
Get a piece of your own history.
3CR's Radical Radio is available now.
Hello, this is Archie Roach and you're listening to good music on 855 AM on 3CR.
That's right, and as Archie has said, you're listening to 3CR Radio, your favourite community radio station, 40 years this year. And, of course, you're listening to Asia Pacific Currents. It's just on 12 minutes past 9 o'clock here on this sunny Saturday morning here in Melbourne. As announced at the start of the programme, we caught up with Anel, who's a spokesperson from the Labour Party of the Philippines, just yesterday, and to get a bit of a follow-up to what's happening in the Philippines about the continuing war on drugs that President Duterte has unleashed, which has already killed close to 4,000 people, and its impact that it's having on working-class communities all around the Philippines.
President Duterte has now been in power for just over 3 months, and he has also unleashed quite a brutal war on drugs that has killed many thousands of people. What is the social political atmosphere like in the Philippines due to this war on drugs?
Well, unfortunately, if we go by the surveys, the majority of the people support the war on drugs that, as you have mentioned, has claimed thousands of lives. If I'm not mistaken, it's around 4,000 people who have been killed by now, either owned by the police in supposed encounters, or the bigger number have been killed in vigilante-style killings. Although that support is sort of conditional, that same survey says that the people would like suspects, people involved in drugs to be apprehended alive, not killed. Although what seems to be happening now is that people are still buying the line by the police that people are killed because they have fought back. And those other thousands of others killed are done by syndicates trying to cleanse themselves. So killing their own, okay, to evade the police.
most of these people that have been killed, and we're talking over 30 a day, are mostly in working class communities, urban poor areas of the Philippines. What's the situation for people now living in those communities?
Long as the killings are framed or even marketed, okay, in a way that it's people are involved in drugs, there's a certain level that people will support them. But because of more and more people are getting killed, on a certain level, people fear is one element. And then there's a sense, and in my sense, that opposition is slowly, although very slowly, building up in opposition to the bloody war on drugs.
Obviously, when we talk about the killings, there's also many tens of thousands of people who are now in jail as well, and who knows when they will ever be brought to justice. In terms of the situation for labor organizers in these 3 months, there have been a number of labor organizers and farm worker organizers who have been killed by death squads.
Yes, in just bloody month of September, 7 farmers and labor activists or leaders were killed. Among them is a leader of PM, Partido Manggagawa, and a labor activist in the southern city of Cebu. And then there was also a one case, also in September, of a union vice president who was abducted at gunpoint by the police. Of course, the police later said that union leader was arrested in a so-called bypass operation. That was days before he was abducted, 3 days before the scheduled union election.
Unfortunately, the Philippines has got a very sad history in terms of death squads, and for many years has been one of the places in the world where labor activists have had one of the worst rates of being killed. So what effect have these death squads are being reformed having on labor organizers in the Philippines?
For now, the killings of farmers and workers involved in struggles and organizing, from my point of view, is that it's not a direct war against labor, but because of the culture of impunity, just because of the fact that it's so easy to kill now and then blame it on the war of drugs, that farmers and workers involved in local mass struggles, in labor or land disputes, so much easier for them to be killed by the enemies where they're involved in land or labor disputes. So if we check on the circumstances of those killed in the month of September, they've all been involved in land or labor disputes. So even though it's not like a direct war against the left or a war against labor, which is kind of like different during the time of Gloria Arroyo, now it's like a spillover from the war of drugs that farmers and worker activists are getting victimized.
Given that many of these killings are happening in urban poor and working class communities, and there have been some deaths of labor activists, what opposition, what organizing is happening in the labor movement in the Philippines to try and stop these killings?
We're trying to build a movement around that. It wasn't easy, simply because there's a real support for the war on drugs, not exactly for the killings, but for the war on drugs. Okay, there's support for that. And that includes among urban poor and even the working class. But at least for the labor movement, since September, when there was a spate of killings and even of the abduction, who by chance happened to be a union leader affiliated to a more conservative labor center, but the biggest labor center in the Philippines. So a large section of the labor movement stood up and in opposition to the killings of labor and farmer activists. And then coalition with human rights advocates, the progressive wing of the church, and then other advocacy groups were building a coalition that's directly opposes the brutal war on drugs and is calling for a stop to the killings. There have been various rallies and events since July and then moving on to September around the issue of killings. So if the mobilizations are still small, just around maybe 1,000 or so, but we're hoping to build slowly but surely a movement calling for a stop to the killings.
That sounds really promising. And as a final question, how do you see the next few months going? Because we've certainly seen in countries like Mexico, where there was a war of drug declared, the level of killings, the level of trauma, of brutalization, of corruption, and the formation of new death squads, in the end starts to have its own momentum and it even gets out of control. Do you think there is a possibility or a danger that if this continues, it will actually start to spiral out of anyone's control?
I think that it's a distinct possibility, and I do hope that it doesn't come to that. I do hope that a movement can be built that can successfully call for a stop to the how the war on drugs is being implemented or prosecuted. I think on one hand, building the movement, organizing people, educating people, and then a key part of that would be how the labor movement can be involved and mobilized. And then one, I think, plank of the advocacy and or movement building would be teasing on these certain incidents. For example, just this month, an anti-crime crusader was killed in a province. She was killed in the same vigilante-style mode of two people wearing bonnets and riding motorcycles. And in just this case, it so happened that the killers were caught. And lo and behold, the killers were actually two bemedaled policemen. Curiously, the chief of police and even Duterte has remained silent on that. And that jibes actually with the expose by the British magazine The Guardian, in which they had an interview with the high-ranking police which they vetted, which says that indeed death squads were unleashed by the government, but it's highly secret. And it corroborates with all the incidents that the police will wear bonnets, they will ride motorcycles, and then disappear after the killing. So I guess that's one. I guess more and more testimonies will come out about the role of the government, the administration, and the police in the death squad's killings. And then, as a matter of fact, I think even as we call for a stop to the war on drugs, I guess one plank is to call for a war against poverty, that the administration, this should actually be the focus of the administration. And just because it has made certain promises against contractual work, for a wage increase, it is in this arena that the administration, it's its weakness, because it cannot actually deliver, especially because of the resistance of capitalists, landlords, vested interests. So it cannot deliver. So it's good to work on that to challenge the Duterte presidency on its promises, even as we call for a stop to the killings.
We can certainly share those last few comments, Anel, and we certainly hope you and your comrades all the best in your campaigns, and certainly given the climate in the Philippines right now, please stay safe and look after yourself.
Well, we actually had meetings on how to make like security measures now, especially in those comrades involved in local struggles, local disputes. For now, that seems to be the biggest area of threat.
Well, thank you very much. And again, take care and all the best.
Hey, thanks, Pierre.
As Prime Minister of Australia, I am sorry.
We're coming live to you from the Aboriginal Ten Embassy in Canberra as part of the Sorry Day Convergence. And here comes Gilla. How you going, Gilla?
How's it going, Gab? How's it going, all you listeners down in Melbourne? And you're missing a great time up here and a great day.
Subscribe to your award-winning independent community radio station, bringing you coverage of community issues and events. We need your support. Call 9419 8377 and subscribe today.
We can't face the future now until we face the sorrow.
I feel hopeful. I feel grateful. I feel sorry.
As an Aboriginal person, let me shake your hand. Thanks very much for being here today.
Thank you very much.
No worries.
It is 27 minutes past 9 o'clock here on Community Radio 3CR. You're listening to Asia Pacific Currents. Just in the closing minutes of the program, I want to announce a demonstration that is happening today at the State Library at 1 o'clock. It is in defence of Aboriginal people in custody. It's in the spirit of the Black Lives Matter movement. But of course, I learnt recently that a young Aboriginal kid was taken into custody in the last couple of weeks and was covered in dog bites, presumably from police dogs. So lawyers and some activists are trying to get to the bottom of that story. But absolutely, we need to stand up and say that this kind of stuff is not on, and this law and order offensive is not a workers' movement. So get to that rally, 1 o'clock today at the State Library. But that is all we've got time for on Asia Pacific Currents today.
And that's right. And just to finish off, that's a good reminder for that rally, Giselle. The interview we're just listening was with Anel from the Philippine Labor Party about the impact of the war on drugs on working class communities in the Philippines. My name is Pierre Morrow.
I'm Giselle Hanna, and we'll be back next Saturday with more news and current affairs from the Asia Pacific region. But coming up next, I think, listeners, you're in for a real treat. Yusuf Al-Ramawi is here live in the studio and bringing you Palestine Remembered.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.